Welcome to Money Sense, where we go beyond the numbers to help Canadians design a wealthier life. With host Brent Laux and trusted experts Kevin Hagedis and Andrew Roddick, partners at PWM Private Wealth Council and portfolio managers with Q Wealth. Whether you're preparing for retirement, designing tax-efficient income, or planning for future generations, financial decisions can be overwhelming. With a spotlight on pension-style investing strategies that prioritize long-term stability, Kevin, Andrew, and the PWM team will share their insights and perspectives to help you protect what you've worked a lifetime to build. Because effective financial planning should feel like laying a strong foundation. This is Money Sense.
Money Sense this week, a very interesting program looking at 100 years of farmland values in Saskatchewan and what some of the trends are in farmland pricing these days. Money Sense begins after this break. Welcome to our Money Sense program this weekend. I'm your host, Brent Laux, and we've got another very interesting program for our listeners and our viewers today. I'm joined by Kevin Hagedis, portfolio manager with QL Partners and the founder of PWM Private Wealth Council, and a very special guest, Tim Hammond is here. Tim, broker and owner of Hammond Realty, an independent real estate brokerage that specializes in agricultural real estate in Saskatchewan. Kevin, good to see you again. Welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be here, Brad. Thank you.
And Tim, we're really looking forward to having you here this week and next as well. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Kevin, before I tell everyone a little bit more about Tim, can you explain how PWM and Hammond Realty have come together to provide additional value to your clients above the financial planning, insurance, and tax services that we know PWM currently offers its clients?
Yeah, for sure, Brent. I just want to start by saying I'm really pleased that Tim has joined us today, and I believe our listeners are going to find a lot of value in our discussion around what 100 years of farmland values have equated to. And the data and the trends can teach us a lot. And I guess I met Tim, must be about 5-6 years ago now, Tim. We're both part of a business owners group together. And this is a group where entrepreneurs come together once a month to discuss what's happening in their business. And it's really a great way to share ideas and best practices. And it's great to be able to bounce things off another business owner and help each other if we can. Recently, a mutual friend of ours got us together again. And as you know, PWM, one of the areas that we specialize in is farm succession planning, where that farm is passing on to the next generation, or it could be rented out or even leased out. And, you know, we've helped literally hundreds of farmers with this type of planning over the last 30 years. And Tim and Trent shared some very interesting statistics with me about the trends in farmland. So we decided this might be a valuable and interesting topic for some of our listeners. So that's why we started to collaborate, not only on the two radio shows that we're going to do this week and next week, but also on a series of workshops that we're going to be running later on this fall.
Oh, that's excellent. That sounds really interesting, Kevin, and obviously very exciting for you at PWM. So welcome to our program, Tim. Tell us a little bit about your background and your experience for our listeners.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm originally from Bigger, Saskatchewan. I grew up on a grain farm, straight grain farm, kind of 25 miles southwest of town. So, but I, you know, we traded in Bigger. That's where we went to high school. That was kind of our community. So grew up there. And I mean, I love agriculture, but I had asthma and allergies, and it just wasn't you know, possible for me to kind of continue on in the farm. So I knew kind of the next best way to do that was kind of get educated in that. So I went to the University of Saskatchewan and attended the College of Agriculture. I got a degree in agricultural economics with a minor in soil. So back then they didn't have a business designation or a specialty. And so I kind of made my own. I did as much economics as I could. And then through the Commerce College, I took financing, marketing, accounting, just kind of all that stuff would help me with business. So yeah, so I graduated in 91. And then I worked with Farm Credit Canada for 11 years. And so, you know, that was, you know, December 1991 that I started there. You know, things were tough. in agriculture, right? Yeah. Like the 80s were hard. And, you know, and so there was, you know, a lot of financial crisis and that needed to be cleaned up. So I started on with Farm Credit. I thought I'd be making loans and helping people grow their business. I think I made one loan, but then it was debt settlement, you know, for 2 years. So I joke it was a foreclosure every week for 2 years, but it was a lot of debt settlement. And, you know, and so what we did is we were able to get through that, you know, and Farm Credit, we ended up with, oh, I'm going to say 1.25 million acres in Saskatchewan that we kind of took in exchange for the debt. And so the farmland really intrigued me. And so I signed on with a special department that they developed. It was called AgriLand, and that was set up to manage this land, to lease it, to sell it, to value it, and eventually get it back into the farmer's hands. So that's kind of what got me, you know, into farmland real estate was, you know, I did this for 8 years with Farm Credit. And, you know, I think I sold probably anywhere from 250 to 300,000 acres in Western Saskatchewan, Northwest Saskatchewan, Northern Saskatchewan. So I've kind of been in almost every nook and cranny in the province anyway. So, but I love doing that, right? And, you know, but Farm Credit didn't want this division. They don't want land, right? They want to give loans. And so when we sold the last acre in 2002, I left Farm Credit and went into real estate on a private basis. So, so that's kind of what got me in to farmland. And then I worked with a brokerage out of Swift Current, Roy LePage Dynasty, it was called. And the broker there, Ken Workington, he was a farmer and also had his ag degree. And so that's kind of what attracted me to him. And then you got to work for somebody for a few years before you can set up your brokerage. Once I had that in, then I set up my own brokerage in Bigger in 2006. And so it started off as Tim Hammond Realty. And, you know, I did everything. I did houses, I did commercial, I just kind of anything to put groceries on the table, but the farm was where my passion was. Right. And so we got that going. And actually there was quite a thriving little residential business there. So that I ended up hiring somebody to take that on, and that allowed me to kind of focus even more on the farm stuff. So, yeah. So just kind of fast forwarding since 2006 is we've grown it up to, we've got 10 agents now kind of all over the province. All we do is farmland. Like, we don't do any residential anymore. We're licensed to do it, but we don't. And that's where our passion lies. And, you know, so anyways, that's kind of me and not such a short nutshell on how I got to where I am anyways.
Well, you know, Tim, I guess this is going to be a pretty interesting topic today. And I just want to say that we're not taking sides, obviously, on the direction of farmland as far as price goes. And, you know, if someone were to ask me what I think is going to happen in the stock market in the short term, obviously, I can pull a number of different statistics to try and anticipate where we are in the market cycle and how to prepare for that. So I guess, Tim, when you look at farmland values in Saskatchewan, they are obviously historically at a high price. But based on, you know, a century of data and technical analysis, science suggests that we might be entering a new phase. Sellers may not have forever to lock in some of those historically high prices. So what are you seeing in today's farmland market that suggests that we might be, I guess, maybe entering or nearing a shift, if you will?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's really in the nuances. I mean, I you know, the technical analysis kind of fascinated me because it's all based on data, you know, but, you know, which I love data, but I'm also, my business is based on the nuances of it, right? Like negotiating and, so there's a few things out there that, you know, say that maybe we're approaching kind of a top, and, you know, maybe we're not at the top, but maybe we're approaching it. Is that, you know, there's still all kinds of demand for farmland, you know, but when we're listing things, you know, like, you know, maybe 2 years ago, we get 10 people to make an offer on it, right? And over the last year, you know, that's maybe softened up a little bit. We still get offers. We get 3 or 4 offers, but there's fewer offers. They're really good offers, you know, but they're fewer. And what's kind of interesting about those offers too is the spread between the first offer or the highest offer and the next highest offer. You know, so, you know, 2 years ago, those top five bids would be really close to each other. Whereas, you know, right now we're seeing, you know, the second bid, it might be 10% lower, 15% lower, right? And, you know, and I've always kind of said, like, land is worth not what the highest bid is, it's what the second highest bid is, you know, because if you had to turn around and sell it, what could you get for it? So anyways, it's kind of interesting to see that, you know, and none of that data ever shows up anywhere, right? So it's just kind of something that we're feeling. And, you know, there's some auctions out there and some progressive tenders that aren't as successful as they once were anyways. So, and not every farm should be auctioned or, you know, kind of tendered, you know, but we can just kind of feel that, you know, it's maybe just kind of softening a little bit. The price is still the same, but just kind of the amount of people interested is maybe a little bit different.
Good to know.
Yeah. Another thing that really kind of fascinates me, Farm Credit has this, it's called an affordability index. So what they do is they rank the affordability of farmland in all the provinces, you know, based on, you know, what the price of that acre is and what it can generate in terms of cash, you know, rent or proceeds to come in. So, so Saskatchewan historically has kind of been the, you know, it had the lowest number, which means it's the most affordable. But in their last report, it's actually had the highest index, which means it's the least affordable. You know, so I think that's a combination of overall crop receipts dropping in the last year and also farmland values going up. So I find that interesting. And that, you know, it hasn't been this unaffordable since the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. You know, so I find that really kind of fascinating too. So, So anyways, it's just kind of subtle changes like that, that makes me think, okay, we may be approaching the top, right? And maybe this, you know, 200 car grain train is starting to slow down a little bit.
We're talking farmland values on this weekend's edition of Money Sense with Tim Hammond, Hammond Realty. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Money Sense in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back. Very interesting Money Sense program this weekend. We're looking at farmland values in Saskatchewan historically and what's going on these days with our guest Tim Hammond with Hammond Realty. Kevin Hegedus is here as well, of course, with PWM. Tim, you recently put out a video with Trent Clarenback. Trent's a grain market analyst, talking about what a century of inflation-adjusted farmland data has taught us. So what did that 100-year chart confirm about where we're at in the farmland price cycle now?
Yeah, it was really interesting to kind of look at it over the 100-year period. And just, you know, because there's 100 years in one snapshot on a piece of paper. And but there's a lot of insight into that, right? Like in, you know, Saskatchewan's had a lot of hard periods, right? Where land values were not up, they were down, and they were down for prolonged periods. And then we'd have these cycles where they would run up again. And so his chart really kind of highlighted that. And, you know, and I could, you know, kind of match that up with my family's experience, right? How tough the 30s were. And then there was some growth, right? And then, you know, another surge in the, you know, late 60s, early 70s with a drop off, and then another surge to the 81s, you know, and then a massive drop for quite an extended period of time. So anyways, we've had an exceptional 25-year run here, and, you know, mm-hmm. Trent's analysis suggests that we may be nearing the top. And he calls it a point of interest, right, where you just start to pay attention, right, because right. You know, we're at the top end of this upward channel, and the relative strength is 96-97%. And he just wants us to pay attention to that anyway. So it doesn't surprise me. Actually, his chart really kind of confirmed what I've been seeing and feeling kind of in our market negotiations.
Can you give us an example of how timing can impact returns, even if values should rise long term?
Yeah, absolutely. So, and, you know, a personal one. So my dad bought a quarter in the early 80s, and he paid $80,000 for it. And that the value of that quarter dropped down to $35,000, you know, in the 90s. And it took 30 years to come back to the point where it was worth $80,000 again. You know, today, that quarter is worth $400,000. So when you ask him about it, he's like, oh, yeah, I, you know, fivefold my money on that. But he doesn't tell you about the 30 years that it was actually kind of down. So yes, land values rose over time, but for decades, it underperformed, right? So timing does kind of matter. And if you're not planning on holding it for generations, the entry and the exit points are extremely important as they define your outcome.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we've prepared hundreds of financial plans for farmers over the last 30 years. Many of those have two or three different scenarios. You know, one might be retiring, passing the farm operation to the next generation. Second one would be retiring, maybe selling the equipment and the inventory, and then simply renting out the land. And then the last one is retiring and sell out completely. You know, all of these are going to have different outcomes and different degrees of planning, obviously. But Tim, a question that I've often hear from clients is, how should landowners nearing retirement think about timing the market momentum? And I guess, can you just share your thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think just be, you know, kind of sensitive to small changes, right? And, you know, and if you feel the momentum that is still going up and that aligns with your long-term plans, then that's great. Then you maybe do it. But, you know, if for some reason land values fall, you know, history kind of dictates that it's going to be down for a while. So don't wait for it to bounce back up. It's kind of like canola, right? If you miss it at $22 a bushel, don't wait for it to kind of come back. So, I just think try to be objective when you're looking at it too.
What mindset would you recommend for farmers then making these strategic land decisions in these rather uncertain times?
Just be curious, thoughtful, and objective, right? Like try not to let the emotions cloud your judgment and, consider your long-term goals, right? Your retirement goals, succession, legacy, wealth transfer, lifestyle, and also think about, you know, are your family's goals the same as your goals? You know, if you gift them the land, do they want to receive it for the same reasons that you want to give it to them? So, and then just, you know, finally kind of understanding your risk tolerance, right? You know, so if you wait, what happens if values drop 5 or 10%? 20%, can you live with that, right? So just help yourself to kind of assess this risk and your plans.
Some interesting information on our Money Sense program. We're just about out of time for the show today, guys. Great discussion, and we're going to continue it on next week. I'm sure many of our listeners will find this information from Tim Hammond valuable. Any final thoughts for farm folks who may be looking at a possible sale here in the coming months ahead, Tim?
Yeah, absolutely. Like farmland has, you know, been one of the most stable and rewarding assets over the past century. But history reminds us that markets and values move in cycles, right? And there's up and downs and timing is important. So, you know, whether you're farming, renting, selling, timing and planning are just critical, right? So be proactive, you know, align your land decisions with your long-term goals and your family priorities and not just the headlines, you know, so if you're unsure where to start, I mean, conversations like this and the workshops that Kevin is running, I mean, this fall, they can really help with those decisions with confidence.
Some great insight from Tim Hammond, the broker and owner of Hammond Realty. Kevin Hegedus, final comments are all yours.
Yeah, just, you know, I guess, as Tim mentioned, we're going to be running some free workshops called Life After Harvest. It's going to be held in November, and we're going to be hitting four. We're going to be in Unity on November 5th, Rosetown November 6th, Melford on the 7th, and in Saskatoon on the 8th. And we're going to be talking about farmland values, trends, preparing for your sale. We're going to talk about incorporation, tax considerations, and it's going to be Tim, Andrew Rodick, my business partner, and myself will be at that workshop.
As usual, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show, Kevin. And of course, if people want to find out more about a financial plan, succession planning, they just want to find out more about what we've been talking about today, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can either give us a call, 306-975-9500, or go to our website, pwmprivatewealth.com.
Tim Hammond, thank you for your time, and we'll look forward to continuing this conversation on next weekend's Money Sense. Tim?
Excellent. Thanks, Brett, and thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
You're listening to Money Sense.
Financial planning services are offered through PWM Private Wealth Council. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. PWM Private Wealth Council is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. You've been listening to Money Sense.